in Galatians chapter 5, we're now down to verses 5 and 6, and that's it for this evening, verses 5 and 6. The reason is that when you come to verse 7, you see Paul again pursuing his adversaries. He wants to know who did hinder ye that you should not obey the truth. I don't think Paul is as interested in perhaps the person's name as the person's theology, and
yes,
can identify the theology,
yes,
by the name. So when somebody gets messed up, I don't mind asking, you know, where you've been going lately, what you've been reading, and
mm-hmm,
because generally the seeds of the mess are in there somewhere. People tend to get caught up into things they don't know what they're in until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 7 kind of starts something that you have to run a few verses, and 5 and 6, I thought I'd run a rabbit this evening. In verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. What more offensive statement could you make,
mm-hmm,
to the circumcision?
Yes.
Who had brandished about, they're the circumcision, for all those thousands of years, and now doesn't count for anything. That is such an attention getter to the Galatians that they would have to respond at some level. Now, when in verse 5, we see the word hope, I like to make the point that my hope is not a verb or an adverb. My hope is a noun. I'm not, I hope. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. My hope is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And my faith is not in crossing my fingers and hope to die, but in His death, burial, and resurrection. So my hope resides complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a noun. He's a noun. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I've got an eternal connection. And that eternal connection has completed me in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look for the blessed hope, it's not with my fingers crossed. I'm looking because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to meet the Lord and ever be with Him. So the hope which is laid up for me is an eternal residence in heavenly places where resides all spiritual blessings, and included in that is my new body, celestial, where I'm able to operate in places that now they have to send up rockets and wear funny outfits in order to do anything. So I'm going to operate without those encumbrances. It's wonderful to know the positional truths that you and I enjoy. We are those who are equipped to walk in the Spirit. I, for a while, had some difficulty when I would read about walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is common language out there, that perhaps the best way to do that would be to roll my eyes back in my head and get a funny look on my face. But that's not it at all.
No.
It's His life. And so when God's Word is in place and I'm being operated by His Word working effectually in me, I'm going to tell you that that's the spirituality that I'm looking for. There is a patience in this hope because I can set my affections on things above. And isn't it wonderful? We had a friend, an acquaintance, his mother died, Dan's mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sent him a card and I was able to quote the verse that we suffer not as them that are without hope.
Mm-hmm.
We have a knowledge of where we're going. If the lady was saved, he didn't lose his mom. He just relocated her.
Yeah.
And he'll catch up with her later. And so that gives us a long view. And there are produced by that long view. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, hope maketh not to be ashamed. Romans chapter 5, verses 3-4. So we then are not so perplexed with everything that happens. We're not so stressed. I love when these 18-year-olds say, well, they're a lot of stress, and they haven't lived a life yet, you know. They haven't done anything. And, oh, stress. Yeah, right. If you think this is stress, wait a while. And so also we learn that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, there is a continuance with this. This is something that operates without the benefit of circumcision and without the benefit of law keeping. It is our life in Christ. Now, it's a wonderful thing to know that we have this positional truth in Christ Jesus, and we are, how many times have I said, more times than I could remember, and it gets repetitive, that when I die at the funeral, just read Romans 5 and then order pizza. Because everything that needs to be said is said in Romans 5. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing any preacher could say will ever improve on that.
That's right.
Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just leave it alone. Doesn't need a great deal of embellishment, does it?
No.
And so we've got a peace that passes all understanding, by whom we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That is an acquired attribute.
Yes.
You don't start out glorying in tribulations. You rather start out avoiding them at all costs.
Yeah.
But because we know some things, the tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not to be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We know some things. The worst possible thing that could happen to you, some bad guy walk in the door and shoot the whole bunch of us, we land in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big downside to that?
No.
Well, yeah, I got roast in the oven. Well, too bad. Let somebody else worry about it. So it's a different perspective. It's a different view. It's a different orientation toward the world. And that's, I think, a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. I'm complete in Christ. When I mess up, I don't want to mess up. I didn't wake up this morning and say, well, let's see how many times I can mess up today. I'll work at doing better, but I didn't lose my completeness.
No. Right.
Schofield did a very good job in his book, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, in differentiating between standing and state.
Yes.
My state, I'm in Ohio, I mess up. My standing is in Christ, complete.
Yes.
And the attributes of my standing are His.
Yes.
What I need to do is work on my state matching the attributes of my standing, and that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to make the point from Galatians chapter 5, when we're down to verses 6 and 7, that, 5 and 6, that this hope we have, it's the kind of thing that requires a certain amount of explanation, because we're still here on this sin-cursed planet. We can go into difficult straits and have problems. We're not in the kingdom. So there might be questions that people have about whether or not you're truly saved, and the beauty of knowledge, knowing some things, would be that we understand we're justified.
Amen.
And when God saved my never dying soul, He justified me on the merits of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. The old bromide is justified, never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We dealt with Abraham being the father of us all in Galatians chapter 4. Now, as we come to that and recognize the God of the universe has set forth the nation Israel, and from Abraham's loins and through that seed line comes the Lord Jesus Christ, there's justification for all of God's creation found there. Jesus Christ justifies Israel and deals with the sins that are past. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Jesus Christ justifies you. Christ is the just and the justifier.
Yes.
So we've got it all in place.
Amen.
How wonderful that is. Faith is a word thrown around rather loosely.
Yes.
And people like to say, particularly in the evangelical community and in the politically leaning toward the right side of the spectrum, oh, he's a person of faith, she's a woman of faith. The question is begged, faith in what?
Yeah.
Faith doesn't stand all by itself.
Amen.
But in modern culture, it pretty well does.
Mm-hmm.
In modern culture, as long as you're sincere, I'm not going to question yours, don't you question mine. And why do we not question each other's? Because we're both dumb as a rock.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't know what your faith system is. I don't know what my faith system is. They call Roman Catholics today now smorgasbord. You know, they take a little from here and a little from there. Well, Christianity is largely that way.
Yeah.
So let's not talk about it, and let's just love one another and get along and sing Kumbaya by a fire. And faith has an object. The object of saving faith is the gospel of the grace of God, which encompasses the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as payment for sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," verse 2, "by which also ye are saved," mm-hmm, verse 3, "how that Christ died for our sins." Pretty good stuff.
Yes.
So my faith has that for the object. My faith does not have as its object John chapter 3, that I'm born again. My faith does not have Exodus 20 as its object, keeping the law. My faith does not have Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes. Well, if I could just have the attitude to be as it is in Matthew 5, then I could follow in Jesus' footsteps and I'd be worthy. That's not the object of my faith. Neither is the object of my faith what good thing should I do, Matthew chapter 19. Neither is the object of my faith repent and be baptized in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. By the way, I said it that way on purpose because that's how the Church of Christ always says.
Yes.
Baptized. It's kind of like a 4th of July thing. Baptized. And baptizes. UPTIZZED. Baptized. Those faith systems, apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, make the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ of no value, make it of none effect.
Yes.
There's no negotiating the gospel of the grace of God. God provided for us. He did it. We trust what He did. It's as simple as that. When Paul presents to the Galatians Paul's message of the revelation of the mystery, he is not preaching Peter's message. Now we need to back up and think for a second.
Yes.
The Acts 28ers, whether it be Steve Atwood or E.C. Moore or whomever it might be, or the people who present Paul with having preached Peter's message for a while, and then after Acts 28 he's got a different message, are going to have to deal with this problem. The problem is this. Galatians corresponds to Acts 15.
Yes.
Why, then, would he be fussing with the Galatians at all? If Paul were preaching Peter's message, why would Paul be fussing with the Galatians at all? The Acts 28ers are just taking the shortcut, the easy way out. They really don't want to answer questions. They'd rather just draw a simple line. I would love it if in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the Apostle Paul, all the Hebrews drop dead.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. Kind of a reverse rapture.
Yeah.
And drop them all into paradise. Or take them up to paradise. Because then I could say, well, here's my line in my Bible.
Yeah.
And everything is different from this page on. Mm-hmm. God respected the humanity and did not do it that way.
That's right.
The Acts 28ers had done it that way by just drawing a line at Acts chapter 28 and making Paul say three different things as if he was separated from his mother's womb three different ways and three different times. When Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, I'm in Romans, no wonder, says that neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, I am not taking liberties with my King James Bible. What I am doing is illustrating this point. Neither baptism nor staying dry availeth anything. Neither joining the church or not joining the church availeth anything. Neither tithing or being a skinflint availeth anything. Whatever you attach to the cross is your ticket to hell. Whatever you add to the death, burial, and resurrection, that's a lie the devil sold you to trust something more than what God manifested in the flesh did for you. What he did is sufficient. You trust what he did, and you are, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, justified. Wow. Now, the fact that I am justified was an event that took place as a product of grace through faith, faith in the object, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And so, justification was a part of my salvation experience that happened immediately upon faith and upon belief. I don't get re-justified next Tuesday and in by 8 and out by 5 get justified again. There's a lot of Arminians who get saved over and over and over again, and in the trade they call those retreads.
Yeah.
My justification happened at salvation. It's initial. It's complete. The thing that happens between the day I got justified until the day when I'm in heavenly places with the Lord involves my standing taking the propitiated, the gift of his righteous standing on my account. So my standing becomes complete in Christ. You look at me and I'm not. I'm still here. I still have problems. Ask my expert. And we all do.
Yes.
Sure.
But not in Christ.
Amen.
So, his propitiation, his provision, then, takes care, it covers for that. His grace is sufficient. In Galatians chapter 3, we saw the question asked, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should obey not the truth, your whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? The answer is no. Or by the hearing of faith? The answer is yes. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. I'm not made perfect by the flesh. And you know what? I'm not made unjustified by it either.
Yes.
Because of the propitiatory sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness is placed on my account. God counts my faith for righteousness. So I have that standing. I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
No holes. This is a doctrinal truth. It speaks to God's judicial look at me. And he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Yet here I am standing, living and breathing, and nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, Paul says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My life in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 is hid. I'm in him. He's in me.
Yes.
I understand my wicked flesh deserved that cross.
Yes.
He took it for me. I have trust. I have faith that God accepted his payment on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He then justifies me, and as I'm matriculating through this society, and as I go through the, what I like to call the vagaries and vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs, the goods and the bads, I'm as complete as I ever was. I never stop being crucified with Christ.
That's it.
The judicial truth of it is something that I need to recognize, and I do. In Romans chapter 5, again, I love Romans chapter 5.
Yes.
In Romans chapter 5, in verse 2, I've got access by faith into this grace. My standing, where do I stand? I stand complete in Christ. So that's a wonderful thing to know. Now, there is an acronym that has often been used, and maybe you've seen it before, that every Christian, even, and we all start out as baby little Christians, don't we?
Yep.
And so we need to be put in our cribs.
Yes.
And the five things with the acronym CRIBS correspond to the C, to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. I have been circumcised. The circumcision is not the circumcision of the flesh, but the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. The body of sins of the flesh. Whatever you think that is in your life, in your experience, in your body, it doesn't have to run you anymore.
Amen.
You've been cut off from that. It's been cut away from you. Your spirit has been quickened, which had been dead in trespasses and sins, and now you can run things and not be so bodily motivated. The C, circumcision. The R corresponds to becoming a new creature, regenerated, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's not Terry went through a 12-step program and now he's a little different. No. You got a whole new entity, the body of Christ, and now I'm a member of that. I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One of them that's, I wouldn't know if I couldn't read, is being indwelt by God's Spirit and by Christ himself. And that is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, which ends with Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm pretty sure you could do a CAT scan, an x-ray, and whatever else you can do, and you wouldn't see him in there. It's a judicial truth. It's a positional truth. Hooray for that. I wouldn't know it, as I said before, if I couldn't read, if somebody didn't teach it to me, and if I didn't find it in my Bible. The B in Cribs, of course, is I've been baptized. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. That, of course, is not a water baptism. That is the Holy Ghost of God placing me into the body of Christ. The best definition you'll ever hear for baptism is immersed for the sake of identification. I have been immersed into the body of Christ for the sake of identification as the body of Christ.
Yes.
Immersed for the sake of identification. It's not water. It's not simply immersion. So, you can read 50 books and get 50 definitions. I just gave you the best one you'll ever find. It's not dunked in water. And most people, when they hear the word baptism, they think water. When they hear the word water, they think baptism. No. Jesus spoke of a fire baptism, a Holy Ghost baptism, and he spoke of his death as a baptism. His death as a baptism. Park on that one. He was immersed into a death that he didn't deserve for the sake of identification with our death that we did deserve, whereby he was made to be sin for us. Immersed for the sake of identification.
Yes.
That dog will hunt. C-R-I-B and then the S. Well, don't get confused about the word sanctified and think that you're sinless. If you're married, you probably don't have that problem. You had it explained to you that you're not. But in Galatians chapter 2, in verses 20 and 21, I'm not a part of what I used to be a part of. Never end a sentence with a preposition. I don't belong on planet Earth any longer. This has ceased to be my home. As much as I like Hilltop Acres, why, Carol takes a picture, and the woman at the Kroger store says, oh, I like that. And it's the picture of the month at the Kroger store, and two different people used it for their Christmas cards. It's our backyard. We live in a pretty place. Mm-hmm. Carol, it's a magic camera.
Everybody always says, I don't know why my camera doesn't take good pictures like your camera.
It's not the camera. It's the photographer. She got an eye for it. She frames things. She has balance. She knows what she's looking at. So, as much as I enjoy it down here, and I do, there's a lot of things I enjoy. Why? I was just talking and emailing back and forth with the lady at the Library of Congress today. And going back and forth over copyrights and that kind of stuff. And Mary something or other her name was, and I said to her, we really enjoyed coming to Washington, D.C., and I think the highlight for me was the Library of Congress, because I don't think I've ever been in a more elegant building. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And Thomas Jefferson's library is there, and yeah. it's just quite marvelous. And when you walk through the gilded stairways, and oh my. And this is a sin-cursed planet that's going to burn one day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As much as I might enjoy some things and relate to some things, I have to learn to set my affections on things above.
Yes.
Because that's my home.
Amen.
One of the reasons I started reading some of these cosmological books is because I'm going to live up there. Mm-hmm. These guys never come to a right conclusion. They never date anything correctly. But it's still kind of fun to learn what's up there, because there's a lot of stuff up there. So there then is the S of Cribs. And these events, these activities, took place as a product of your salvation. They are Christ's righteousness imputed to your account. God, the Holy Spirit, God's Word working effectually in you, accomplishes some things. How wonderful it is when this gets back behind your belly button and resides in your inner man and starts steering you, and you start to grow and gain some maturity. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Your thinking process changes. Your worldview changes. Your priorities change. That's all a good thing. When trouble comes, and we're all, Job says, man's born in trouble because the sparks fly upward. I never been around a fire where the sparks didn't fly upward. Yeah. Man's born in trouble because the sparks fly upward. We're going to have it. When it comes, we should know God's grace is sufficient. we should know that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everybody thinks they're special. Guess what? There's nothing that isn't common to man. And didn't Luke tell us in Acts chapter 17 that we're all made out of one another? Well, the situations are common to me.
Yes.
So it all happens. And when the trouble comes, you're better able to bear it.
Yes.
I've encountered some folks that tell me they're saved and trouble comes and it just overwhelms them. You hate to see that happen. That's such a sad thing. Sometimes the trouble is just overwhelming, and it would overwhelm just about anybody, but sometimes it's because there's nothing in there to bear up against it.
Yes.
And I would encourage you, just as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel, as much as in me is, we'll put more in there and you do better. As much as in me is, I'm ready to withstand hardness as a good soldier. The more that's in there, the better I'll be able to withstand. You see, am I making a point? So there is a benefit to this business of Bible study and getting the right doctrine in there. How wonderful it is to know that when the trouble comes, it's not because God in heaven said, you've just gone too far. That was the straw that broke it. Boom! I'm going to hit you with breast cancer. Yeah. So the lady who listens to my radio broadcast on an ESPN station in Dayton, Ohio, who has breast cancer, her ears can use that as an illustration, and her ears perk up.
Yes. Yes, they do.
When I was privileged to participate and preach at her funeral, I had several times before that seen her in hospice, seen her in the nursing home, seen her in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She wasn't afraid anymore.
No.
She knew she was saved. She knew God wasn't mad at her.
Yes.
She knew this wasn't retribution. Wow. When you can teach somebody a Bible truth and see that effect when they're fixing to die, not a bad thing. The changes work from the inside out.
Yep.
Religion works from the outside in. Religion says, don't do that, don't do that. Grace says, learn why you shouldn't. Then you'll be convinced. My telling you won't get it done. Your knowing it from the Bible, that'll get it done. So it's a very different approach. Religion whitewashes sepulchers. Sometimes, with a grace believer, some of the last things to get fixed up are the externals. It takes a long time to get through the thick heads and get down into behind the belly button, down to where people reside. And to get that doctrine in place, sometimes it takes a while. You get faster results and more visible results with legalism than you ever will with grace. If you elect me boss, and I tell you what to do and how to dress and what to watch and how to talk, and I can get quick results, particularly if I've got cops checking out.
Yes.
Takes a lot longer for the word to work effectually and for you to say, oh, that is something I should be able to do. I didn't know that I could do that. One of the things that will happen is that after a few years of grace doctrine and studying and learning it, you'll wake up one day and say, no, I haven't done that bad thing for 2 years now. I'm not interested in that anymore. It'll just go away.
Yeah.
Because your focus is someplace else.
Amen.
The message that you and I present today is a message of reconciliation. Now, it's very important, I think, that we are skillful at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to know it ourselves.
Yes.
Or we'll have a hard time communicating it to anyone else. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Who reconciled us to himself? God did. How did he do it? By God manifest in the flesh. Reconciled is a past tense. It's a done thing.
Yes.
God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There's nothing anybody could do in their lifetime that can improve on what God already did. Reconciliation is in place. You can't get yourself reconciled by what you do later. Reconciliation took place at Calvary's cross, at the resurrection. God was in Christ, reconciling the world, past tense, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Since I'm complete in Christ and I've trusted his payment for my reconciliation and been reconciled to God by what he did, how wrong would it be for me to think that I need to get baptized to close the deal?
Yes.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It's a done deal. It's judicial. When I come under the influence of the gospel, trust the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, I'm reconciled to God, I'm justified, I have the propitiation in place, I have Christ's righteousness on my account. All of those things in place because of what Christ did and God's accepting of it way back then. God reconciled the world to himself. What am I going to come along 2,000 years later and fix? What am I going to improve? What am I going to complete? Reconciliation was done. Then, that reconciliation, the fact that he's not imputing trespasses. Didn't we see in John 3:16 and John 3:36, everybody's condemned?
Yes.
So we've got a whole world filled with condemned people. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and he reconciled the world by the act of his Son. All these people on the world are still condemned.
Yes.
They're condemned already. Judicial reconciliation for everybody is in place on the merits of the death, burial, and resurrection, and when you trust it, you gain the merits of the death, burial, and resurrection. Until you trust it, you have the merits of being condemned already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not hard.
No, but
we were lied to.
Yeah.
Read John 3:16, put your name in it. God so loved you. He loved me so much that two verses later he says, I'm condemned. The 20 verses later he says, I'm condemned. That the wrath of God is already in place.
Yes.
That's how much he loved me. It wasn't about me. It was about his creation.
Yes, yes.
His creation, not simply his creation, but his creation in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Where he, Christ, is preeminent over all things. Most of religiosity puts humans into the equation someplace. Confessing with your mouth. Got to do 1 John 1:9 every night. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. If I have to confess a sin to get it forgiven, what did I just say about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? He's not imputing trespasses.
That's right.
What am I confessing? Trespasses. hasn't he, Colossians 2, forgiven me all trespasses?
Yes.
Then what am I confessing? The Christian response to sin is not to confess it and go back next week and confess it again and go back next week and confess it again. The Christian response to sin is don't do it anymore. Reckon yourself indeed, Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, dead to sin. Wow. Ought to be easier than it is. But I don't know about you, I was taught so many things that are wrong. I pretty much had to throw away everything.
Yes.
Sweep it clean. Mm-hmm. And start over learning Bible truths. And it was something of a struggle, I don't mind telling you. When everything you've ever been taught was wrong, and I was about there. I wasn't saved much time at all. And Carol got me a book called Two Babylons. On Babylon Mystery Religion. I'm Babylon by Alexander Hislop and Babylon Mystery Religion, the edition that was okay, by Ralph Woodrow. I read those. I can remember sitting there reading and thinking, nothing I've ever done is right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing I ever learned in church in 2 years, none of it makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Well, when that happens, what have you got left? Better get in here and find out what right is.
Yeah.
So, not only do I have the benefit of justification, not only do I have the benefit of propitiation as I'm walking down this lonesome road, I would be glad if what I'm about to say weren't true, but the more Bibles you learn and the more you care about the Lord and so many other things, your list of friends will be shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, and it will be harder and harder and harder to come through with people that are undecided and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It seems that it is. A friend of mine I got the gospel to, taught him a little bit about right division. It's just hard for people, I guess. He decided wife number two wasn't good enough. He got wife number three, and he started knocking her around the room. They arrested him. He's a pastor. Got carted away. I got the gospel to him. If he's saved, as far as I know, I'm his spiritual daddy. He rejected me about 4 years ago.
A little longer.
When I told him, you're going to have to quit chasing skirts, you got a wife, you got to do right, you're going to ruin your ministry, you're going to ruin your life, you didn't want to hear from me anymore, and that was it for me, boy. Now he's out on bail. It's hard. You teach people, you get people saved, you teach people right information, they've got choices.
Yes.
You want to be there and steer them on every little choice. But you can't.
No. Either the word's going to steer them.
And when they turn their back on you and say, well, I'm smarter than my teacher, which usually happens within about 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And they go their own way, and you see the path they're going on. There's a man I took outdoors under the privilege of a pine tree, meeting in the tree.
Yeah.
And I said, what you're doing is wrong. Do this. This has to come to a halt. He hated me.
Mm-hmm.
It got worse. Took a woman, not his wife, to a meeting in Chicago, and she's draped all over him. His wife's home with the kids. I got his deacon, who was a major in the armed forces, disciplined man who. And was the deacon, and in privacy, it was the three of us. Now I got a witness. Went over. You can't do this. You're going to ruin your wife. You're going to ruin your ministry. I became a meddlesome old man. Didn't have any business doing this.
Yeah.
Go away. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got chewed out.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, to the guy that chews me out, he's a pastor, he's dead now down in Tennessee. Well, I don't know if that's your affair. I said, he'd be going to hell. I got him the gospel on my radio program. I sat him down, went over the gospel. I taught him. He professed Christ in my presence. He's my son in the faith. I taught him a little bit about the King James Bible. I taught him a lot about right division. He learned it in 2 weeks. He knew more than I knew inside of 2 weeks. He's messing up. Somebody needs to tell him. Grace is not do whatever you want to. I'm his elder. I'm his father in the faith. I need to tell him. He's in yesterday's newspaper. His mugshot's on the internet. He's out on bail. $25,000 bail. For knocking his third wife around. Between wife two and wife three, there was the secretary that he was taking places that I rained on their parade. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it's just a heartbreak, folks.
Yeah.
There's no winners.
No.
You try to help folks, you try to do right with folks. People do what they want to do, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Carol Haseman, I say that, and right this minute, I'm not fond of it either.
No.
People do what they want to do. It's a heartbreak. So, Christianity becomes an off-scouring. Don't you know folks love to pile on stuff like this?
Sure.
Turns out, his son's famous. So it's in the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's on ESPN. Spreads. Spreads under a pine tree. Bible verses. You're going to ruin your family. Bible verses. You're going to ruin your ministry. And I'm going to teach them. Went the extra mile. And I'm the bad guy. Now what do you do? He's refused to talk to me for 4 years or five.
Yeah.
Because I'm the bad guy. I'm meddlesome. I'm getting into things that are none of my business. Well, now they're the court's business. Now they're in the daily news. How's this working out for you? Do me a favor. When I mess up, talk to me like I did you.
Yes. Yes.
And if you ever need to be talked to yourself, listen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
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 There's no profit in worldliness. There's no profit in satisfying the flesh. There's no profit in the salacious, money-making, money-grubbing life that's earthly.
No.
Our affections need to be set on things above.
That's it.
Not on the skirt. Raise your arm.
Yeah.
Guess what? If he's really saved, he's just going to believe that Christ is here with us.
Yes.
There's a need for reconciliation. He's been reconciled to God by faith in Christ Jesus. We can choose to do better, can't we?
Yes, we can.
In Romans chapter 5, and we'll end in my favorite chapter. In Romans chapter 5, when we were without strength, because we're saved, are we suddenly Samson?
No.
I think sometimes we read the verse, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, we're saved now, so I'm strong. You're a fool. You need to reckon yourself dead. God didn't save your body. He saved your soul. He quickened your spirit. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we were without strength. Christ died for us. we're now justified, verse 9. We were his enemies, but now we're reconciled. And verse 10, cross refers to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20.
Yes.
So we can then rejoice. We can then know that we're justified, know that we are without offense, know that there's no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Our job, brothers and sisters, is fairly simple. Find out who God has made us in Christ Jesus. Play that role.
Yes.
Live that life.
Mm-hmm.
When we activate the truths that we can find in our Bible and operate according to them, setting our affections on things above, you have a strength that's not yours. You have discernment that wasn't natural. You've got a lot of things going on to help you, whereby by God's grace we can each do better.
Yes.
Let's close. Amen, amen, amen.